Welcome to the Startup Showcase. I'm your host, Scott Catoon, and this is TechNori Live from WGN Radio, where Chicago and Israeli top tech founders and entrepreneurs come to share their story. I say that because I'm sitting next to Avi Yurish, who is a senior fellow of American Foreign Policy Consulate. Is that correct?
Consul.
I write these things down, and then, you know, just...
I forgive you.
It gets away from me. I appreciate it. We only have a little while together, so, you know, hopefully you forgive me quickly. And, of course, Aviv Ezra, Israeli Consul General to the Midwest.
Pleasure.
So welcome to the show, first off, guys. Thank
Thanks
you for coming.
Us.
We hear a lot here in the tech community of Chicago, as well as I've read a lot of things in TechCrunch about Startup Nation and the fact that one of the I don't know how to really characterize this, but we don't necessarily in this country think of other countries unless they look exactly like us. It looks like Great Britain or London. We don't think of them as startup countries and things. We just think of like Silicon Valley and New York and Chicago. At least in Chicago, we think of ourselves as a big deal. But I don't think that the thought process of a tech community like really hits us there. And then all of a sudden, not as a big surprise, but all of a sudden Israel is a place that has a massive startup community that has grown out of it. And they're getting lots of funding, and they're getting funding from outside of even inside of the United States and outside of Israel. I have you guys here to kind of talk about and let us know what we do know, what we don't know, what we should know. I guess whichever one of you want to lead, I would love to learn a lot more about what's going on in Startup Nation.
So first of all, I think Israel is far more than just a startup nation. Israel is an impact nation. It's a nation that's actually making an impact. It's influencing the lives of billions of people around the world when it comes to water, when it comes to tech, when it comes to food, when it comes to medicine. Israel is producing a whole host, not just of startups, but of mature companies that are literally changing the lives of billions and billions of people around the world. Now, as it comes to startups, Israel produces more startups than Great Britain, Canada, and a number of other countries combined. So you're talking about a whole host of startups coming out of Israel. And frankly, as you look at mature companies, that is, that are on the NASDAQ, Israel has more companies on the NASDAQ than I believe any other country outside of the United States. We're talking about a very rich, a very mature ecosystem coming out of Israel specifically these days.
So one of the things that I would kind of ask, I guess now having seen what we have going on here and you've seen Silicon Valley and what's been coming out of there, you know, how do you think it differs and how do you think it's very similar in the way that the tech communities themselves have grown? Because what we saw here in Chicago, and it's taken a little longer, I actually think, than it probably should have taken. But what I've noticed is common thread between Silicon Valley and New York and Chicago is sort of this, if I can't find an immediate solution to this, or I can't find something, I do it myself. And there's this like really, I don't even know how to describe it. An entrepreneurial spirit is doesn't even begin to describe this, like this feverish attack that a lot of the entrepreneurs that I meet, the startup founders, are like, no, we're going to do this, and then we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. And all these people are telling us no, but no, we're going to do it.
That, my friend, is called chutzpah.
Yeah.
Okay?
You'd say it better than me.
Chutzpah is a Hebrew word that essentially means you got the gall to actually go out and do it. And that
almost every date I've ever been on, the girl said, you've got a lot of chutzpah, and then they disappeared.
It's time for you to put a ring on it.
Don't say that too loud. This show might be listened to by a certain someone.
Come on, ladies.
Well, there's lady, and I don't think she'd be she'd be thrilled that would happen, I think. But anyway.
Scott, put a ring on it. It's time.
We have, see, and you're here for more than just this, though, because we've got all kinds of family problems. I've got the girlfriend of the ring.
Tell me your
ring.
I've
got the dog. The dog is untrainable.
So we've talked about this. We talked about this before the show. It's time to bring you to Israel. Israel is a small country in the Middle East, but it's solving some of the largest challenges in the world today, as I said, when it comes to water, tech, food, and medicine. I think you should bring your dog. We should have a make-a-thon or a hackathon. We should have a challenge. And I guarantee you, we would have this dog trained.
How long does a dog have to be in quarantine before it can get into Israel?
I'm gonna pander to the consul general.
He's like, this is a waste of my time.
Shorter the better. We'll take care of it. Don't worry.
Okay, if we take it, because you know what, he doesn't do well in cages. So I mean, you know, it could be a challenge. But the point that you're making is a good one, though.
But when it comes to Israel, look, the Israel secret sauce really comes out of a few things. One is this idea of chutzpah. Israel has demonstrated that it has the ability to solve problems. A lot of that also comes out of the fact that they have a very innovative military. They have a large diversity base, just as we do in this country. Yeah. It is a nation of immigrants. They've got unbelievable universities, and they've had some very smart governmental programs. But ultimately, that is just – these are the statistics that kind of point to the innovative prowess of the country. That I like to call is the mind of Israel. Let's talk about the soul of Israel. The soul of Israel is really this idea that it's time to make the world a better place. And let's just take drip irrigation, for example. Many people don't know that drip irrigation was actually started in Israel. And drip irrigation feeds billions of people around the world. Or let's take a whole host of fruits and vegetables and medicines, or the app in your phone that helps you get from one part of Chicago to the other. Waze is a very good example of Israeli innovation that ultimately reduces the emissions around the world. Israel is a country that's trying to, at its heart and soul, make a difference in the world and make it a better place. And that comes as a result of thousands of years of praying, thousands of years of our prophets saying, we need to be a nation of peace. We need to be a nation that brings light upon the nations. And that's a universal human idea of wanting to make the world better. That is not uniquely Jewish.
Yeah.
But it certainly, Israel represents the best that the world has to offer when it comes to making the world a better place.
Well, I definitely think if you're looking at it from a national standpoint and from a sort of like the makeup of a country, I mean, there's no doubt that Israel is a country that has proven time and time and time again that they're going to be entrepreneurial and that there's going to be a solution soon. And you very rarely hear a story of they're sitting back and letting a problem overwhelm.
That's not Israel.
Look, that's not how things work there.
Today, actually, is the 50th anniversary of Israel going and capturing the eternal and undivided city of Jerusalem. And as we take pause, I mean, look at the last 50 years. The Middle East has moved in an unbelievable direction. If you look at the countries surrounding Israel, unfortunately, Israel is the villa surrounded by a jungle. And you're looking at amazing innovations coming out of Israel. And Israel today has its hand outstretched to peace and saying to its neighbors, come join us on this unbelievable ride. Let's not only have a startup nation, but a tech innovation region. Yeah. Let's go on this ride together. Let's make this the best that we can possibly make. And the way to start that's through peace.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think that's also part of the, maybe one of the lost things here, lost story points of not just in the Midwest here, but also in this country. When we look at what's going on in the Middle East, I don't think that people are thinking of innovation. And I think that also draws away some of the attention. When you mentioned Waze as an example, there's numerous companies that have come out that I think the vast majority of Americans would have no clue that was an Israeli, you know, based company.
Let's take, you know, if there are parts of there's the chips in many of the IBMs, yep, or the personal computers come out of Israel. If you look at the cherry tomato that came out of Israel, if you look at something called the grain cocoon, which is something used in 100 countries around the world, which is a Ziploc bag that holds grain and allows farmers to get out of the cycle of poverty, comes out of Israel.
Yeah.
If you look at Iron Dome, which is protecting the lives of Israelis and Palestinians alike, I should say, came out of Israel. There is hundreds, if not thousands, of innovations, and that's different from startups.
Sure.
Right? An innovation,
for sure.
An innovation that essentially has proliferated the world.
But I do think that sort of lends itself to the startup success. And you look at like this country and you look at, you know, a lot of things that are going on with a lot of the Japanese and Chinese startup companies that are popping up, is you find, again, no matter how different we are, no matter what we look like and whatever the nation you come from and your background financially, whatever it might be, there seems to be a common thread there that we are, you know, in America, you know, fortunate, whether you like it or you don't like it, we always come across as the cowboy. You know, we're always going to run around and try to solve these crazy problems. And we've got chutzpah our own way, but sometimes it's, you know, almost stupidity.
We are a nation of immigrants. And that is basically what happens when you put together a lot of immigrants with a diversity.
Well, yeah, you have no choice because otherwise you can't, like, if you don't come together on your differences, then you can't ever come together on.
And Israel is very similar in that regard. If you look at the number of Jews that have come from around the world back to their ancestral homeland, for 2,000 years we've been praying to go back, and we are now seeing a free land of Israel, where Jews have the right to self-exercise, really chart their own course for our future. And we're seeing, as a result of that diversity, as a result of that dream, we're seeing an unbelievable surge of innovation. And I like to say that really the American dream is really what underlies us here in the United States. But the heart and soul of Israel is a synagogue. And we're seeing unbelievable innovation as in large part as a result of our unique history.
This is going to completely undersell that, but I'm going to say it anyway, even though it's a weird analogy. I actually think that what you just mentioned is very similar to what's going on here in Chicago right now, because for whatever reason, and if you've traveled around the United States, you meet people from California, from Texas, from everywhere, but maybe Texas is different. We'll leave them on their own little area. But Chicagoans always come back. There's so many, like forever, we'd have these guys, and I know a bunch of them from my own, I'm 33, a bunch of my own friends who went to grad school and undergrad locally. And then they went and took and chased a tech job in San Francisco, or they went to New York to become a trader, whatever it might be. And they make a whole bunch of money, and then they come back here and they buy their house and they start their little trading firm here or whatever it is. And now, finally, for the first time in man, in my memory, I am starting to meet people who are not leaving to go to San Francisco or to New York unless it's for a real short-term thing, and then they come back here and they launch their business. And Chicago is one of those places, for whatever reason, people call it home and they always come back. They always want to come back. You rarely hear the story of maybe New Yorkers a little bit, but California is always kind of a weird, you know, they just, people, I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on out there.
Well, the world is not flat, right? And there's nothing you can't do in any part of the world.
True.
With the coming of the internet and with the information economy, you can do what you want in Chicago, the same as you can do it in San Francisco and New York.
But there's certain things, there's certain cultural things, and you brought it up well with Israel, and not comparing Chicago to Israel, and the reason that people go back to Israel is the same as Chicago. It's certainly not the same on any level. But there is a certain cultural sort of way we do things and a certain seeking to do it the way that we do it here in Chicago that makes people want to go, I could launch it anywhere, but I want to go back home to Chicago and do it there, because you recognize all of the many opportunities we have here with the universities and the businesses. Like, this is a great place. It always has been a great place. It just, for whatever reason, people didn't feel like it was, or I don't know what the reason was, but now they're starting to come back and actually do it here, which is cool. And that's kind of what you're talking about there, is that people want to go back there and start their business and launch their business from where they're, you know, even if they weren't born there.
But it's not just a money-making thing. Again, I come back to it. It's not just startups, right? It's not just the economic miracle of the state of Israel. The miracle that we're actually witnessing, the actual miracle that we're witnessing here, is that there are so many innovations that are coming out of Israel that seek to make the world a better place. Take, for example, there's an organization out of Israel called Natal, which Aviv can speak to very well, that essentially that takes people that have undergone trauma and has helped rehabilitate them. Their motto is helping people who have gone through the battle of war and helping them now wage the battle for life. And they've sent people here to Chicago and really helped people rehabilitate that have gone through a certain amount of trauma on the south side of Chicago. And you see that these models you can take from Israel and transplant them anywhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're definitely trying to hang our hat here in Chicago on the inclusivity and on social innovation. So I suspect that's one of the major reasons why there's a great synergy there. Unfortunately, we don't have a whole lot of time, so I want to kind of get into some of the opportunities and things that you see as a joint partnership and a relationship for not just the United States and Chicago, but Israel as a whole.
But I'd like to take Chicago. There's one innovation that I think Chicago ought to consider implementing almost immediately, and that is there's an organization out of Israel called United Hatzalah, think of it as the Uber of emergency responders. And essentially what United Hatzalah has done, and its founder, Eli Beer, who will be speaking this evening along with myself and three other panelists at 1871, encourage our listeners to come out and join us. He essentially has taken a cadre of 3,000 emergency responders and has given them one of two things: an app on their phone that allows them to respond to any crisis, and something called an ambucycle, which is half ambulance, half motorcycle. Okay, and so let's say you, Scott, are having a heart attack here. Right?
It's very likely.
Having a heart attack or something, there's a crisis going on. And your executive producer, who's on the floor above, is an emergency responder. If you were in Israel, you'd punch someone here in the room, would punch in on their phone and call the equivalent of a 911. Yeah. And they would send out an alert to the five nearest emergency responders. And your producer would come down to the next four and find you and help you. They've reduced the national average. The national average anywhere in Israel has gone down to 3 minutes. Do you know how long it would take you to get an ambulance to come here in Chicago and in Israel?
On this floor, I'd be dead.
Well, at least it would at least take 20 minutes.
Yeah.
The national average is 20 minutes. So to reduce the amount of time that it takes an ambulance to come, essentially, you have an emergency responder that is there to triage until an ambulance arrives to take it down from 20 minutes to 3 minutes. Think of the number of lives that they've saved.
Yeah.
And this is a wonderful model that I think Chicago and, frankly, other parts of the country ought to be implementing. Jersey City was the first city in the United States to implement it. And I'd encourage the mayor's office to seriously consider exploring a partnership with an organization like United Hatzalah to create this app and provide ambucycles, and allow the citizens of Chicago to essentially receive a first level of care, a triage level of care, in a much shorter amount of time, simply using tech that's produced in Israel. And there's a whole host of other organizations in Israel that are like that. Let's take the water crisis that's happening, right? You essentially, in this country, and we're going to see around the world in the next 15, 20 years, we're going to see water refugees for the first time. And Israel has produced, because it is in the desert and because there's resource scarcity in the country, it has managed to produce a whole host of water innovations that have revolutionized not only the country, but the world. Israel is the only, I believe, the only water superpower in the entire world. It does not rely on the weather or anything else for its water. It has five desalinization plants. It recycles water, I should say, not water, but sewage water, it recycles it upwards of 90% for its agriculture. There's a whole host of the pipes in the sewage, they break, or even bringing fresh water. There's a whole early warning system that allows Israeli Water Authority to know exactly where the pipe is broken. As we move into the next century, we're going to have to really keep as much water, and this is just one example, as possible. Look, Israel has a philosophy, you can have as much water as you want now. You just need to pay the true market price. Right? As you look at water tech, this is something we're going to have to implement in this country, Chicago in particular, but also other places, California.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the I don't want to say advantage, but one of the advantages of being a resource scarce place is you have to be very resourceful, and you've got to do a great job using and maximizing what you get with things. So I think ultimately that just further proves what your point is that you are a nation of innovators. And that the amount of great things that are just not just money, but also impact, social impact, et cetera, are going to keep coming out of Israel. It's a great model.
But the reason why the United States and Israel have had such a wonderful and warm partnership is because we have the same values. Israel and the United States share the same values, which are primarily freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of association. And as a result of the fact that we are both nation of immigrants. Yeah. And out of that comes out tremendous innovation. America is the leading nation of innovation around the world, but Israel, I think, comes a very close second. And frankly, the amount of innovation per capita that's coming out of Israel today is staggering. And it's only in our best interest in this country to look to other countries, primarily in this particular instance, Israel, to help us get into the next century and make the world a better place.
Well, I sure hope they do. Where do people go to learn a little bit more about how they can get involved in sort of the Startup Nation, as well as all the other stuff you guys are working on? And also, just in general, how can companies and investors and people who are just curious about getting more involved or just knowing what's going on in Israel, how do they get involved?
So they could certainly read a book like Startup Nation by Dan Senor and Saul Singer. My book is coming out hopefully in the next year. It's called Thou Shalt Innovate. And it's a book featuring the innovations that have come out of Israel that are making the world a better place. They can certainly go onto the Ministry of Foreign Affairs' website. Startup Nation Central has a wonderful website featuring all the innovations coming out of Israel these days. If they go to blogs like the Times of Israel has a blog on Startup Nation, there's a whole host of places that people can go. And certainly there's an event this evening taking place at 1871. And encourage, Scott, why don't you come this evening and hear what people have to say.
Awesome. I'll also give you another one example. I mean, Avi's talking always about the connection between the two private sectors. But we as a government, we also have a role and we see ourselves as a role. Unfortunately, Israel needs to be branded better, I think, here in Chicago and vice versa, Chicago back in Israel. And the way to do it is twofold. First of all, visits, coming to visit Israel. One of the things that we do, we work very closely with the governors and lieutenant governors and many of the decision makers in the states. We cover 9 states here, so I've met about 5 or 6 governors. We interest them to come to Israel. For example, Governor Snyder from Michigan, automotive industry, was very much focused on telling me that automotive industry is not about tires and chassis anymore, it's about computers on wheels. Guess who has some value added in computers? So he decided to come to Israel to a conference that was focused on cybersecurity. And he came with a delegation of 30 CIOs from the state and also 30 to 40 businessmen. They came to Israel. They saw that potential that Avi is describing. They came back, and now that's the first kind of a move. The second example could be something that and Avi related to in terms of water. We're going to have water technology conference coming up in September called WATEC. Governor of Iowa, for example, very interested, committed, she's going to come. This mayor right here is thinking about coming to that specific conference because he's also very interested in water. In that capacity, you bring a large amount of people with you that are businessmen that have a lot of ideas. They come, they sit down, they see the spirit, they see the opportunities, they connect the dots together. That's one element. The second element is during our meetings here with governors, etc., we create these kind of MOUs, memorandum of understandings, these kind of agreements in which both governments are putting funds into it, matching funds. We're putting, let's say, $2 million. Illinois will put $2 million in order to focus on R&D together. So mutual interest of R&D, research and development on certain topics. Different state has a different kind of a focus. We do it with other states also already. And the idea is to find Israeli companies or Israeli universities and local universities, the university or local companies, to get the first initial funding from the governments and to move it forward in terms of getting something more cheap. So the government has a role in it. I mean, again, the average Israeli, if you ask them about America, what they know is New York. It's actually Manhattan, but they call it New York. Yeah. They know Los Angeles. They know Washington.
Kim Kardashian.
They know Miami. My goal here is not only just to brand Israel here in the Midwest, but rather to brand the Midwest back in Israel, because I think this is the place where everything that grows and
we have works. A lot of the same problems that you guys are working on trying to solve.
That's exactly it. And also, I think you have a problem, if you are, let's call it a challenge of in a sense branding, because when you talk about Chicago and Israel. When you talk about Israel and Chicago, they tell you, oh, that's camels and deserts. Well, no, it's about what Avi is talking about, yeah. High-tech, biotech, telecommunication. But when we talk about Chicago back in Israel, people are also not that familiar with the capabilities and options. They will tell you that Chicago, yeah, it's Michael Jordan.
I was just going to say Michael Jordan.
Well, no, Chicago is much more than that. And when they land here, their eyes open. So I think that's the role of the government in this sense, at the end of the day, connecting the first connection of the dots and then taking it forward and leaving it to the private sector to really take it forward.
Well, I hope that this helps kind of tie those dots together, and we'll definitely keep our eye on what's going on there and keep the line of communication open, because I'd love to just keep exploring this relationship. Very cool. Thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Of course. You can watch this episode of More at technori.com, download the podcast on iTunes, and stay connected by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.